Hooray, it's the 1st of May, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, bringing you news from the WilliamsNews.com website, News of Williams and the Grand Canyon. Today, we have these headlines: porcupines, camelids, and decades of fun. Deer Farm thrives in 2025. Veteran amputees attempt record hike. And council briefed on potential power shutoffs. Turning to that first headline from the 29th of April, porcupines, camelids, and decades of fun. Deer Farm thrives in 2025. This article is by Doreen Holtzey of the Williams Grand Canyon News. Williams. On a sunny spring afternoon in northern Arizona, I visited Grand Canyon Deer Farm, a place where animals and people alike seem to find a little peace and a lot of joy since it opened in 1969. It's a destination that draws visitors from around the world, many of whom return year after year. Why is it so dear, this deer farm? Let me tell you. From the moment I walked in, I noticed how tranquil and alluring the free-roaming deer looked against the familiar backdrop of the northern Arizona tall pines, wide blue skies, and volcanic rock high desert landscape. Walking into the farm is like stepping into a magical movie scene. It's shedding season, and though the deer sport patchy coats, they all remain beautiful, uniquely patterned, graceful creatures. The facility itself is impressively well kept. The animals appear calm and content in the company of human visitors, and it's not just deer here. The farm is home to a variety of residents, each with their own story. Gail Tobin, a caretaker at the farm, greeted me with a warm welcome and showed me around. Tobin has worked at the deer farm for 11 years. "It's a delightful job," she said with a smile. "I retired from my ranch, and the deer farm owner asked if I wanted a job. I said, sure. I truly love it. I know all the animal residents by name." Our first stop was to meet the Zonkies, also known as Z-Donks, Emma and Zoolander. These rare animals, a cross between a donkey and a zebra, belong to the horse family and, like mules, are typically unable to reproduce. Tobin explained that many of the animals at the farm have lived here their entire lives, while others arrived after zoos closed, including several during the COVID-19 pandemic. "We give them a safe, permanent home here," she said. Nearby, two mini mules named Angel and Tina pranced happily toward us, eager for their evening meal, as the late afternoon routine began. As we admired the Zonkies and mini mules in their enclosure, varieties of deer freely roam in the open area around us. A coin-operated corn dispenser nearby allowed visitors to feed deer by hand, and buckets of food may be purchased in the gift shop. Benches offered a place to relax as gentle animals approached for treats, non-aggressive and open to petting and human attention. In another enclosure, I met Ralph, a Patagonian Mara, sharing his space with wallabies, Poppy, and Piper. Tobin explained how social and domesticated these animals are, though she emphasized the importance of remembering they are still wild creatures. I was invited to pet the wallabies. They were soft, curious, and incredibly sweet. Tobin also shared details about the wallabies' unique beginnings. "They're about the size of the tip of my thumbs when they're born," she said. "No hind legs, no tail, just blind and hairless. They crawl into the mother's pouch and attach to a nipple that swells to hold them in place while they grow." Next, we visited the reindeer. Tobin recounted the story of Rudolph, a reindeer who was born at the farm to a mother named Cupid. Another reindeer, Blitzen, caught my eye with his impressive fuzzy antlers. "They grow about an inch a day," Tobin said. "It's like a giant bush growing out of his head." Continuously throughout our visit, deer of all kinds wandered freely around us, passing by without intimidation. Some came to us because they were separated from their mothers due to one misfortune or another, Tobin explained. Many were bottle raised here, so they're comfortable around people. Tobin pointed out the deer's various coat colors, including speckled, chocolate, and white. Interestingly, the white deer are born tan and gradually turn white as they mature, she said. As we walk, Tobin points out each deer by name and recognizes personality traits that reflect those names. Next, we visited Gracie, a dromedary camel with a big smile, eager to pose for pictures. We paused to admire the bison, where we met another friendly caretaker, Hank, a local resident and Williams High School class of 1998 graduate. He spoke about his love for the farm. "This place is wonderful," he said. "People come from all over and are amazed they can feed the animals and get so close to them. The people I work with are like family. I did a bunch of trades before this, and I'm telling you, this is the best job I've ever had." Hank credited advertising and word of mouth for helping spread awareness of the deer farm, mentioning that moments ago he'd met visitors from North Carolina who had visited on a friend's recommendation. "My visit concluded with a highlight, meeting the African crested porcupines, Pocahontas and Quilly Nelson." Nelson's a little over 2 years old and was bottle raised at the deer farm. Soft and gentle, his impressive quills make him an unforgettable character. Pocahontas happily cuddled up to my leg to be petted and accepted a piece of sweet potato from my hand. New manager Amy Kravitz spoke with me about what makes the deer farm special. "There are very few places in the world where you can get this close to a herd of deer and feed them. It's a rare experience for sure," she said. "People have been coming here generation after generation since we opened in 1969. It's a wonderful experience and we're constantly improving. When people visit northern Arizona, they make time to come here." Amy hinted at exciting plans ahead, including a bat education program currently in development. Back inside the gift shop, I met Mozart, the resident cockatoo bird, who's been a fixture at the farm for over 40 years. Kravitz said returning guests often ask how he's doing the moment they arrive, a beloved tradition that speaks to the lasting connection between visitors and the farm. In the end, the Grand Canyon Deer Farm is a genuine northern Arizona gem, a family-friendly, animal-loving destination where visitors feel like part of the family, whether it's their first visit or their 15th. For more information, you can visit Deer Farm, one word, DeerFarm.com. That's Porcupines, Camelids, and Decades of Fun. Deer Farm thrives in 2025. Pick up an article that's a follow-up to one that we read last week. Veteran Amputees Attempt Record Hike. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 29th of April. When they left the South Kaibab Trailhead earlier this week, U.S. military veterans Kirsty Ennis and Kevin Bittenbender were attempting to put their names in the Guinness Book of World Records as a duo of lower limb amputees to complete the Grand Canyon's rim-to-rim-to-rim hike. But when it became evident that their mission had to stop at the North Rim after 24.5 miles of hiking in nearly 20 hours in the canyon, Ennis fought back an urge to keep going by herself and had to remind herself that the endeavor was a team effort. "The entire reason we were doing this really was to remind the veteran community that our battle buddies are going to surprise you sometimes," Ennis said. "The fact that Kevin came to me wanting me to be his battle buddy, I just thought that was so powerful for me." Bittenbender, a retired U.S. Army Sergeant Major of 34 years, had approached Ennis at a fundraising event with the idea of doing the hike. The younger Ennis, a retired Marine Corps sergeant of 6 years, agreed. In their mission, the two veterans set out to raise funds for Building Homes for Heroes, an organization that builds and modifies homes mortgage-free for injured veterans and first responders. Both Bittenbender and Ennis have been supported by the organization in their roads to recovery. Bittenbender lost his left leg below the knee in 2022 due to burn exposure while deployed to Afghanistan. Ennis sustained injuries as a helicopter door gunner that resulted in a left leg above the knee amputation. Ennis has since dedicated her life to empowering veterans and motivating the disabled in leading by example as an adaptive adventure athlete, mountaineer, inspirational speaker, and nonprofit founder. While our recent excursion in the Grand Canyon was a way to raise funds and inspire people with disabilities, it was also a way of reminding veterans the importance of having a battle buddy to be there for them. The purpose of a battle buddy is to stay out of the darkness, Ennis said. By leaning on people around you and being able to harness that pain and turning it into fuel, that's really where our power comes from, and oftentimes that doesn't happen alone. We need one another. Although the two weren't able to reach their ultimate goal of traversing the canyon twice, Anna says they'll take their lessons learned and keep moving forward. This failure, ultimately, it's a failure, is just an opportunity to come back, Anna said. Come back better, faster, and stronger. That's veteran amputee's attempt record hike. Our next article, Council briefed on potential power shutoffs. This again is by Calvin Shoemaker, and it is from the 29th of April. Representatives from Arizona Public Service briefed Williams City Council on potential power shutoffs at the April 24 meeting. Personnel from APS gave a verbal presentation on the utility's wildfire mitigation plan, which includes public safety power shutoffs, or PSPS. Janet Dean, a public affairs manager at APS, led the discussion, calling a shutoff the newest tool in the toolbox when it comes to fire mitigation and prevention at APS. Dean said the program began last year with 16 lines in northern Arizona and is expanding this year to include 65 lines across northern Arizona. A public safety power shutoff means that in the most extreme of conditions where our team thinks that all the other mitigation factors we put into place may not be enough, we could choose to turn power off proactively to help to try and protect the community and protect our infrastructure, Dean said. Although no shutoffs were called last year, Dean said that based on historical data over the past 5 years, there were conditions on four occasions that may have warranted a shutoff somewhere in northern Arizona. The APS website says the shutoffs would only impact customers in targeted high fire risk communities to keep Arizonans safe. In these conditions, we may temporarily shut off power to certain areas to prevent the electric system from starting or contributing to a wildfire. APS continually monitors weather conditions and a number of factors that would be considered prior to a shutoff, including wind, relative humidity, and fuel load. The planned, isolated, and forecastable outages would last on an average around 20 hours, with power being restored shortly after daybreak, Dean said. Although Dean called the shutoffs infrequent and predictable, parts of Williams and the surrounding area could be impacted. An interactive map providing address-specific information is expected to launch on the APS website in May. Impacted customers would be contacted by APS about an outage days in advance and are encouraged to sign up for the county's emergency alert system. Mailers with information on the program are being sent out to customers with a clear message. Our primary message right now is to be prepared, Dean said. Know that this program is how we are working to help protect your community. It could impact you. Please be prepared. To learn more, you can go online to www.aps.com. Questions can also be directed to the APS Customer Experience Team at 800-253-9405. That's 800-253-9405. 0.05. And that's Council briefed on potential power shutoffs. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Would you like to listen to Northland Views or other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming at a time of your choosing? You can do that. You don't just have to listen to the stream, although that's also available on sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, as well as the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available on the Apple App Store for your iPad or iPhone, or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And yes, it's also available on your Amazon Dot or Echo. Our next article, Lady Vikings honor seniors, fall to number one team. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 29th of April. The Williams High School softball team honored its two seniors before the team's final regular season home game on April the 24th. Seniors Miranda Cheney and Raina Rocha, both members of the 2023 state championship team, were honored before Williams faced off against Joseph City, the top 1A team in the state. The Vikings fell behind 4-0 before scoring their lone run in the bottom of the third. Rocha reached first base on a bunt, stole second, and was driven in by Faith Jensen. Joseph City went on to put up 4 runs in the fourth inning and 5 runs in the fifth inning to take the game 13-1 in 5 innings. Williams finished its regular season with a 12-1 road victory over St. Michael on April the 25th. Danica Howe had 13 strikeouts and gave up only 1 hit in 6 innings. Offensively, the Vikings were well-balanced, with 7 batters getting a hit. Howe, Adriana Baldwin, and Daisy Vasquez led the team with 2 RBIs apiece. Jensen chipped in 3 runs for the Vikings. Williams finished the regular season with an overall record of 13-11 and the number 3 spot in the AZ Preps 365's most recent 1A state rankings. Joseph City is ranked number 1. The first round of the softball state playoffs will be held at 4 p.m. on Friday, May the 2nd. The quarterfinals will be May the 7th. The first 2 rounds will be held at the higher-seeded team's field. The state semifinals will be May the 7th at the Papagaio Sports Complex in Phoenix, and the state championship will be May 12th at Arizona State's Farrington Stadium in Tempe. Ticket sales for all playoff events are conducted digitally. Fans can only attend postseason events by ordering tickets online via GoFan at www.azpreps365.com. That's azpreps365.com/tickets. That's Lady Vikings honor seniors fall to number one team. Next, WEMS students mark Earth Day with performance and campus cleanup. This is by Doreen Holchi from the 29th of April. Students at Williams Elementary Middle School celebrated Earth Day with a special performance before heading outdoors to help beautify the school grounds April the 22nd. Following the presentation, students spread out across the campus to collect weeds and debris and to plant new grass seed, wildflower seeds, black-eyed Susan, succulents, and other plants. The event encouraged school spirit and pride while teaching students to care for their campus environment. That's when students mark Earth Day with performance campus cleanup. Next, we have North Rim reopens May the 15th for the 2025 season. The North Rim of Grand Canyon National Park will open on Thursday, May the 15th at 6 a.m. to mark the official start of the 2025 season. Grand Canyon Lodge and Grand Canyon Trail Rides will also commence their 2025 seasonal operations on this date. Visitor services, including the campground, Grand Canyon Conservancy bookstore, and the Backcountry Information Center, will open at 8 a.m. Rangers will be available daily from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. to provide information, trip planning assistance, and park ranger programs at the Roaring Springs Overlook Kiosk through October the 15th. Grand Canyon Lodge North Rim operations, including lodging, groceries, retail food and beverage services, shower and laundry, and the gas station will also open May the 15th. The lodge dining room will be open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with reservations required for dinner service. The last day of the 2025 season for most commercial services will be October the 15th, 2025. The Bright Angel Point Trail on the North Rim leading to the Bright Angel Point will be closed for construction for the entirety of the 2025 season. The trail will be closed to all pedestrian traffic as the National Park Service personnel replace asphalt, move large rocks, and operate equipment in these areas. This closure is necessary for the protection of staff and visiting public during an extensive repair effort to the Bright Angel Point Trail. Overnight lodging reservations for the North Rim facilities may be made by contacting Aramark Destinations at 877-386-4383 or by visiting their website at Grand Canyon North, that's all one word, GrandCanyonNorth.com. For information on Grand Canyon Trail Rides, please call 435-679-8665 or visit their website at www.CanyonRides.com. Reservation for the North Rim Campground must be made by calling 877-444-677 or online at www.recreation.gov/camping/campgrounds/232489. That last is 232489. Campground reservations outside the park at DeMott Campground, located on the Kaibab National Forest, can be booked online at www.recreation.gov. The North Rim will be open for day use until November the 30th, 2025, or until the first major snowstorm, if prior to that date. That's North Rim reopens May 15th for 2025 season. Then we have National Park Service says give elk calves their space. This also by Calvin Shoemaker from the 29th of April. Grand Canyon National Park is reminding people to stay away from elk calves this calving season. Elk calves are born between late April and June, according to the park, which warns that adult elk mothers can be extremely protective of their newborn. Pregnant elk often seek out quiet, hidden spots to give birth, sometimes in places you'd least expect, like near your office, behind your porch, or along your favorite trail, the park said in a recent newsletter. So, whether you're taking out the trash or heading out for a jog, keep your eyes open and give wildlife plenty of space. Grand Canyon National Park reminds visitors to never get between a cow elk and her calf and to leave the calf alone, even if they appear to be alone. A mother could be watching from nearby and approaching the newborn could be dangerous. Park visitors are reminded to not approach elk and to always give them their space. The park says that if you hold up your thumb and it doesn't completely cover the elk, you are too close. Grand Canyon National Park is asking people to share this message with others and to take caution if you happen to see an elk calf. And that's NPS. Give elk calves their space. We have time to get a few items from the community calendar. And this is for the week of April the 30th. There will be a community appreciation event. All are welcome at Williams Recreation Center, The Shed. That's at 300 West Railroad Avenue on Saturday, May the 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be guest speakers Cecilia Lopez, Angela Hamby, and Kelly Yazzie. There will be worship music by the Hambys, as well as craft and food vendors. Swap meet. The Williams American Legion Riders are having a swap meet from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. on May 17th and 18th at the Williams Rodeo Grounds, and that's 750 Airport Road, where motorcycle and car parts will be on sale. The 4th Annual Badges and Bobbers. The Williams Police Department is hosting a free fishing event for local youth from 7 a.m. to 12 p.m. Saturday, May the 31st, at Buck Skinner Park. Fishing poles for all youth and licenses for kids age 10 to 17 will be provided. The Williams Police Department is currently accepting donations to support the event. Online registration closes May the 21st. To register or learn more, visit www.williamsaz.gov or call 928-635-4461. New food distribution. The Flagstaff Family Food Center will be hosting a new monthly neighborhood food box distribution on the fourth Tuesday of every month from 1 to 3 p.m. at Bethany Fellowship. That's 106 South 9th Street in Williams. The SMTR Balls for Dogs Golf Tournament will be held May 17th, 2025 at 8:30 a.m. at Elephant Rocks. And you can call 928-635-4726. There's a writers group that meets at 4 p.m. on the first Wednesday of the month at the Williams Public Library, and you can contact Mark at 928-326-4785 for more information. Well, that's all the time we have for the community calendar for the week of April the 30th. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Thank you so much for joining me for Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. And remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on sunsounds.org, the Sun Sounds of Arizona website, as well as on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or for your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And finally, Sun Sounds of Arizona also streams on your Amazon Dot or Echo.